Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians is now streaming on Hulu.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network, this is a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming live on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram or the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. And Twitter X has been booming today with Jim Rome content. I think he was the second highest trending topic on Twitter today. Congratulations to our teammate, the franchise, the legendary Jim Rome himself, who did launch the X stream of the legendary Jim Rome Show, which you could listen to right here on the Infinity Sports Network, but now you can watch it on X. And I saw at one point there was over half a million or half a billion people watching. So that was actually crazy. So crazy numbers. What, did I mess something up? Was it half a million? What did I get wrong?
Yeah, I think you corrected your half a million and said half a billion.
Yeah, I don't know why I did that. See, I try to do something nice. Not that Jim needs my help in the pub, but I ended up messing up the numbers there. You knew what I was trying to say, though. They had half a million people watching. Heck, if Jim had half a billion people watching, man, that would be really something. But Emmanuel Rodriguez is here with me. Stuart Kovacs as well. We're rocking and rolling all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Glenn Ordway, who was the voice of the Boston Celtics for a while and is a legendary sports radio personality in Boston, he's going to stop by coming up 2 hours from now, as he will help us remember the life of Bill Walton, who I saw did pass away yesterday at the age of 71. Glenn was very close with Bill Walton. Bill actually got Glenn into the Grateful Dead, and they've been to a few concerts together. So I will give you my thoughts, and I will share my eulogy, I guess you could say, on the legendary Bill Walton, who passed away at the age of 71 yesterday, coming up in 40 minutes from now. But I just wanted to, right out of the gate, start the show by saying rest in peace, Bill Walton. Whole lot to do today. Hope everyone had a phenomenal Memorial Day weekend. I hope your barbecuing was safe and fun, and I hope you had a good time wherever you were. You know, on the East Coast, sometimes Memorial Day weekend in terms of the weather is tricky. Like, I remember some Memorial Day weekends, I'll go down to the shore, and as you could tell, I am an idiot at times. And Manny Rodriguez, you know what? You're a real bastard. Let me tell you that. I go, I'm a real idiot at times. Manny, without hesitation, shakes his head and goes, yeah, you absolutely are. Can we have some good support around here? Can we pick each other up instead of just trying to tear everybody down? I'm coming off a vacation. It's Tuesday after a vacation, a three-day weekend. Everyone should be in a good mood. Stu comes up to me, hey, how you doing? Wonderful Santa's not here. And then Manny goes, does it smell like Chinese food in here? And I go,
delicious
no.
Leftovers.
It didn't say, I love Chinese food. Better the next day for leftovers, too. That's not a hot take. Just reality. And Manny doesn't even say hello. His first thing is, does it smell like Chinese food in here? And then 2 minutes into the stinking show, you know, Manny's like, yeah, Gelb's an idiot. Gelb's a moron. Gelb's a dope.
In the
last time I ever helped you, my friend.
In the words of my colleague at NBA Radio, Rick Mahorn, you sound a little sensitive, buddy.
Well, I hope everyone had a good Memorial Day weekend. I know a lot of times, right, we have fun and you barbecue, you have your drinks, but I hope during one point of the long weekend you do remember why we have Memorial Day weekend, and that's to remember the true heroes in our country, and those are the great men and women who did make the ultimate sacrifice to protect our freedoms. I had a good time. As I was saying, the weather is sometimes bizarre on the East Coast Memorial Day weekend. Whenever I hear Memorial Day weekend, that to me is the start of summer, even though technically it's not the official start of summer if you want to be a real nerd about it and go by the dates. But once I'm in summer mode, I think that shorts and a t-shirt every single day. And there have been Memorial Days where I've gone down to the Jersey Shore and it has been 40 degrees, raining, chilly, very cold. This year I went to the Berkshires and it was very good weather. A little rain yesterday, but when you get Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of very good weather, only like 2 or 3 hours of rain on Monday, I will take that for a Memorial Day weekend. So let's get the show underway. We'll start about the Boston Celtics. And by the way, Manny, I'm not just saying this because you just poke fun at me. I found your social media content the other day to be insufferable. I think there is nothing more of a loser personality in sports when your team can't beat a team. And then a week or two after your team loses, the other team goes out, and right away, you had the memes, you had
damn
the gifts,
right,
you had everything ready to go.
You're damn right.
As you had to poke fun at the Indiana Pacers, who your basketball team couldn't beat.
I mean,
so now,
I'm just
saying, you couldn't beat them. That's a factual statement. Yes, I will acknowledge, and I've said this before, that if the Knicks were healthy, they would have taken care of the Indiana Pacers. And it ended up going 7. So it showed that the Pacers really weren't a team that is a usual feel of a team that's in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's why I picked the Boston Celtics in 5. I guess I was too benevolent there. But for you to go online right away and poke fun at Tyrese Haliburton, who was injured and didn't even play the last 2 games, I just thought that was low class. And I do believe in something called sports karma. And sports karma is going to bite you in the you-know-what.
It's not going to bite me. It's going to bite the Indiana Pacers because they were frauds. They didn't deserve to be in that situation.
They didn't deserve to be there.
No, come on. They beat a Bucks team that had no Giannis.
Them.
It was a fluke. You want to talk? Draymond wants to talk about flukes and how the Knicks were a fluke.
Separate
the
conversation.
The Pacers are a complete fluke. They're not going to even sniff the Eastern Conference Finals for the next 5 years.
And you're so confident that the Knicks, who I am rooting for,
yes.
I have family friend ties to the Knicks. I want to see the Knicks do well. So this is not me bashing the Knicks right out of the gate, but you are telling me without a doubt, and this is the arrogance now of the Knicks fan, a little success, a few second round appearances, and now they walk around, they shroud around the studios like they're a peacock, and now they think they're the team to beat in the NBA and they're going to be a year in and year out. Yeah,
well, you know what? No, I'm looking at it as a non-biased NBA fan.
You want to know why you're a fraud?
Shoot, baby.
Because let's just say if roles were reversed.
Oh, I'd be.
And it was the Knicks who were.
Would have called out today.
Who were fully healthy, and it was the Pacers who were decimated with injuries. If I got on the radio and said, oh, the Knicks don't belong there after they advanced, but the other team was injured, you would be mother bleeping me up and down the radio dial. You know that is true. You know that's 100% true. Try to deny it.
No. No, because I know what
you
the
can't
Indiana,
even speak right
you
now.
You know what the Indiana Pacers are. You knew what the Indiana Pacers
they're good,
are.
Good, but not great team.
They're a perennial.
Hold on.
Perennial
How
playoff
old are
team.
You? How old are you?
26. I'll be 27 in a few
okay.
weeks.
Okay. Yeah. So you should have no hatred for the Pacers in previous series when you want. Well, maybe early on in the second round series.
Roy Hibbert,
Roy
blocking
Hibbert,
Carmelo
served
Anthony.
You lunch.
That is my Reggie Miller choking moment.
Okay, but there's no Reggie. There should be no Reggie Miller hatred for you in your age because you weren't around. We weren't even alive for the Reggie Miller days.
No, I wasn't. But, I mean, just because I wasn't alive for a big moment in basketball history and my favorite team's
but it's fake
franchise. You complaining about me going off on social media is fake outrage.
No, it's
not.
I'm serious.
Who
Wait, hold
don't
on.
Take it so seriously. It's
Stu,
social media.
Stu, do me a favor. on the rundown for this show, the opening segment, does it mention anything about Zach mentioning Manny Rodriguez?
It does not.
How about the second segment?
Nope.
The third segment?
No.
The fourth?
Nope.
The fifth?
Nope. You brought me up.
The sixth?
Nope.
The seventh?
Nope.
The eighth?
Nope.
The ninth?
Nope.
That was all impromptu, because sometimes you see things, and then when you see someone, it triggers a reaction. And when I saw you and I turned on the microphone, something went off in my brain that said, oh, Manny came off like a sports loser from yesterday when the Indiana Pacers got eliminated from the Celtics. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying is there is nothing more lame in sports, in this fun way that we talk about it, when you can't beat a team and then you celebrate when that team goes down because some other team did your dirty business. That's all I'm saying. You know who you're like? You were like Chase Claypool. Now, hopefully your career doesn't turn out to be Chase Claypool, but remember when Chase Claypool couldn't defeat the Cleveland Browns in the playoffs with the Pittsburgh Steelers? Then he gets on, it was some streaming thing. Wasn't as popular as Jim Rome's streaming thing, of course, from earlier today, but it was some streaming platform. I think it may have been Twitch. I don't know. He was doing some gaming, and he was saying, oh, the Chiefs will get them next week. He was basically celebrating that the Chiefs were going to take care of their business that they couldn't take care of the week before. All I'm saying is, do you want to be like Chase Claypool? Do you want to be a loser? You should shut up. You should have no opinion on the Indiana Pacers because they beat you. You should not be entitled to having an opinion, all right?
That's crazy. That last bit is a little crazy.
Well, I don't think so. Like, Stu, do me a favor. I can't use your football team because they don't beat anybody.
You can't, no.
Let's say when the Lakers, let's say when the Lakers, give me a playoff opponent that maybe you haven't loved recently of the Lakers.
The Nuggets.
Okay. So, perfect example. When the Nuggets beat the Lakers, then the next round, I know that, the next round, let's say it did go down that way. The Nuggets ended up losing.
Yeah.
Were you celebrating over the demise of the Nuggets and saying, yeah, the Timberwolves did what we couldn't do?
No.
Oh, it was more for 2 years ago, really. But.
Yeah, it wasn't. I honestly was kind of rooting for the Wolves only because of, the story and the up and coming and Anthony Edwards and all that. But it wasn't like an anti-Nuggets. I wasn't happy they lost
because
they
not a loser. Do
the Nuggets and the Lakers have this history that goes back 30, 40 years?
No, but last year was really ugly. It was really ugly in that conference final sweep when LeBron made it all about himself sitting at the podium and was like, oh, maybe I'm going to retire, and wouldn't even give the Nuggets any credit. So that got a little ugly. But, stop. You have, in your lifetime, you have one moment. One moment of hatred with the Indiana Pacers. And it was a second-round series where, in reality, the Knicks showed they didn't actually belong. If you want to talk about teams not actually belonging. All I'm saying is, you lose to a team. I don't need you to see Manny Rodriguez yesterday dancing on the grave of the Indiana Pacers. Now.
Oh, I'm going to do it more now.
It's fine. You'll look like a loser. Then you'll look like more of a loser. And then you'll end up like Chase Claypool. You'll bounce around from three networks, and then no one's going to want to employ you. And then when they do bring you in, you have to have Sean McDermott. Oh, we're trying to revitalize Chase Claypool. Chase is trying to get back to what he once was. So get your Rolodex ready. Whoever runs ESPN these days, get them going. Scott Shapiro at Fox, get them going.
So sensitive over there.
I'm not sensitive at all. Just David Marinick. No, we have Chase Claypool here at the Infinity Sports Network, and he's that rat, Manny Rodriguez.
I hear that rat is a good-looking fellow.
I don't know. Do you have the mustache comb today? I must ask you a question.
I do have the mustache comb somewhere in my bag.
Okay, good. The mustache comb saves you from me just shredding you for the next 3 hours. Anyway, the Celtics are off to the NBA Finals. Their season, though, really does not start until Game 1. Of the NBA Finals. I think that is the perfect way to say it. It is not an in-the-moment take. It's been something I've been saying ever since the playoffs did officially commence for the Celtics on April 21st. Because if you want to call a spade, you look at the opponents in the East. In the regular season, I know it's one thing, but then going into the postseason, they were all inferior just in the East to the Boston Celtics. Did they get some lucky breaks along the ways? Yes, Jimmy Butler being out for the entirety of the first round. You had Donovan Mitchell miss two games against the Cavs. Tyrese Haliburton missed two games, for the Indiana Pacers. But in reality, none of those three teams, even if they were fully healthy, and even if Manny's Knicks were fully healthy and got through the Pacers, none of them were going to defeat the Boston Celtics four times in a seven-game series. So the Celtics just getting to the finals shouldn't make me say, let's throw a parade and let's have all the confetti rain down right now, because the standard for success of the Boston Celtics is winning an NBA championship. And that changes. But when this has been a team that has been consistently there in the conference finals, has been to an NBA finals before, you got to take care of business in the NBA finals. And it's looking like it's going to be up against the Dallas Mavericks. They're up 3-0 against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Boston could have sleptwalked through this series up against Indiana. They choked away the Pacers game one. Quite frankly, they choked away game three. I don't call last night a choke job, but it was another blown lead by the Indiana Pacers. So, with all that being said, I'm not going to throw a parade today because the Celtics are in the NBA Finals. But the official start of their season is now. And it's coming up in the early part of June. And June 6th, when they tip off game one of the NBA Finals. Because if they don't win the NBA Finals, assuming it's up against the Mavericks, or even if Minnesota finds a way to be the first team to come back from down 3-0 in the history of the NBA playoffs, if they don't win the finals, I don't care that they won the Eastern Conference in the regular season. The separation from the first to the second seed was like 15 games. I don't care that they only dropped two games to get to the NBA Finals and win the Eastern Conference. It's all about winning a championship for the Boston Celtics this year and raising banner 18. Anything short of that is a failure. And here's the thing. I will say this, two parts about Boston. Because I do believe a lot of Celtics fans are going to be like, oh, this is national media hate of the Boston Celtics. I have no reason to hate the Boston Celtics. Big part's going to be Kristaps Porzingis coming back. You did not need him to get to the finals. I think you need him to win the NBA Finals. And the other thing, and you saw it yesterday, Drew Holiday is a championship player. And I think that's one of the stories that's not going to get a lot of recognition today when talking about the Boston Celtics, because we all know Drew Holiday is a very good player. And it was a very smart move to bring him to Boston via a trade. But a lot of talk with the Celtics today is going to be now their season really starts. Jaylen Brown winning the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. Jason Tatum maybe needing to be a little bit better and taking his game to the next level. The health of Kristaps Porzingis. Like, those are going to be the storylines. But even though I'm not going to give the Celtics an abundance of praise for what they've accomplished so far, because all of it was expected, they need to win four out of their next seven games. They need to raise hoist the Larry O'Brien trophy and raise another banner at TD Garden. But Drew Holiday has restored a championship culture in Boston. Because Drew Holiday has won a championship in the past with Milwaukee. He's one of the more respected players in the league. And I really think he was the missing link for this team. Because Tatum has been there for a while. He's great. He's a top 10 player in the league. Brown is one of the better two-way players in the league. You've seen the emergence of Derek White. You know how important the health of Porzingis is. But this team was right there. And they needed to get to the top of the mountain. They were very close to getting to the tippy top of the mountain. And when I look at Drew Holiday, I think that's what is going to be a big part when we all are said and done with the NBA Finals on boosting them to the top of the mountain. So I want to just say that out of the gate and talk and highlight the importance on both ends, the excellence of Drew Holiday, who probably gets underappreciated a little bit nationally and is deserving of more praise. But if that's the matchup, Mavs and Celtics, which it looks like we know the Celtics are already through, and the Mavs, I just can't see them choking. They're up 3-0. Oh, that's going to be fun. Because Luka's a top five player in the sport. Luka's the best player remaining in the postseason. And also, you have the Kyrie Irving connection. Kyrie going back to Boston to square off against the Celtics, as there's a lot of animosity there. We'll take a break. It is the Zach Yelp Show on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come on back, Jason Kidd deserves a lot of credit. I'll tell you why when we return. It is the Zach Yelp Show, where we love all, including Manny Rodriguez, right here on the Infinity Sports Network.
The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians is now streaming on Hulu.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
All right, it is the Infinity Sports Network, and it is the Zach Gelb Show. You know, I got to give a lot of credit to Jason Kidd. The Mavs are one win away from going to the NBA Finals. We know when that does happen, everyone is going to talk about Luka Doncic. Everyone's going to talk about Kyrie Irving. And I totally get that because 9.9 times out of 10, when it comes to the NBA, when we're talking about it in a positive way, we give credit to the players first rather than the coaches. I have a love-hate relationship with Jason Kidd. Let me be the first one to say that. He was my favorite player as a kid growing up. But Jason Kidd, when he became the coach of the Nets, I was so thrilled, but then I was so disappointed because it only lasted a year, and then he made that big power play when he was trying to get more power, and in reality, he didn't deserve the power. Because his highlight in that one year as the coach of the Brooklyn Nets was when he bumped into his own player intentionally to get that cup of water spilled to try to delay time and get more time to draw things up and to execute something in the huddle. So when Kidd did that, I felt betrayed. And since then, in a weird way, I developed a little bit of an animosity towards Jason Kidd, who, let me remind you once again, at one point was my favorite player in the league. And in Milwaukee, he really didn't do much. They made the playoffs twice. They lost in the first round. That team ended up going on to win a championship without him years later. And then for a while, anytime a job would pop up, you know how James Franklin at Penn State, whenever there's a job that's open, his name will get linked to it. That was the case with Jason Kidd for like 2 or 3 years. And I think he was the assistant for the Lakers, Stu, right? But every time he was somewhere, his name would get popped up and he would never get the job. And I was like, who's his agent just to get his name out there? Because he wasn't successful as a head coach in Brooklyn. He didn't really succeed in Milwaukee and the team got better without him. So why would you give him a third job? And I say this all the time. Like, you look at NBA and NHL coaches, these coaches, and I say this in a polite way, are coaching whores. They really are. How many times they go from team to team to team to team, and they keep on getting hired, and you start to wonder, is there just a faulty process in the hiring of these coaches because they just recycle the same damn names? But I got to give credit to Jason Kidd because in Dallas, right, they got to the conference finals. They got swept by the Warriors in his first year. Last year, they missed the playoffs, and that looked like it was going to disaster mode. People didn't think Kidd was the right coach for the job. People were wondering when was Luka Doncic going to force a trade. Then you also had them missing the playoffs and the tanking at the end of the year. And you looked at Kyrie Irving. Kyrie looked like he was going to be a malcontent in Dallas, right? And if you thought otherwise, and trust me, I have takes out there. You could go find them if you want. Be my guest. I don't care. But I have takes out there saying that the Kyrie Irving era in Dallas will end in a disaster, because that's what always happens. Where you look at what happened ever since he left Cleveland. In Boston, a disaster, his fault. In Brooklyn, a disaster, his fault. But here's what we missed, and here's what we all missed. And this is why, when you look at the success of the Mavericks and them being one win away from going back to the NBA Finals, why Jason Kidd needs to be talked about more. And I get why people are going to talk about Luka first. Top five player in the sport, going on a championship run or trying to go on a championship run. I get why people are going to talk about Kyrie Irving getting back to focusing on basketball and basketball being the story. But a big chunk of the Kyrie Irving praise needs to be credited to Jason Kidd. Because Kyrie Irving grew up as a massive Nets fan. Kyrie Irving grew up as a massive Jason Kidd fan. Kyrie Irving, at one point in his life, looked up to Jason Kidd as a basketball player. I think Kyrie Irving was at Jason Kidd's Hall of Fame ceremony. So Kyrie Irving respected Jason Kidd. Kyrie Irving has worked with other legendary backcourt players before that he didn't respect. One of them being Steve Nash. And remember when Kyrie and Kevin Durant basically like, oh, one night I'll coach a team, one night Kyle will coach a team, one night Jacque Vaughn will coach a team, one night Steve will coach a team. They didn't respect Steve Nash. KD and Kyrie were just trying to use Steve Nash. Kyrie Irving, because he idolized Jason Kidd growing up, respected Jason Kidd. And now look, Kyrie Irving is on his best behavior in Dallas. And when he's on his best behavior and you could get him to lock in for a few months, he's still a top 10 player in the league. He is so difficult to stop. He is so fun if you just focus on basketball to watch. And here they are, one win away from going to the finals. And not only one win away from going to the finals, they are on the verge of sweeping the Minnesota Timberwolves, who, when Minnesota did go up 2-0 against Denver, was everybody's pick to win the championship, or almost everybody's pick to win the championship. So we are one more Mavericks win away from the Timberwolves story going away for now, even though I do believe in Anthony Edwards for years to come. A lot of people talking about Kyrie Irving, a lot of people who should be praising Jason Kidd, and this sets up a matchup where it's Luka and Kyrie going up against Boston. Boston being a team that has been there more frequently than the Mavericks, even though the Mavericks have made 2 out of the last 3 conference finals. But this is going to be, on paper, a sensational NBA Finals, assuming if Dallas takes care of business. And I don't know about you guys, and I'll get to the phone lines just a second, 855-212-4227. I don't know about you guys, but if I just went around the room right now, and let's say that this matchup does go down where it's Boston up against Dallas, what do you think the series is going to be? Just give me the team and then how many games. I'll start with Stu. Stu, which team, how many games?
Yeah, me and Manny had this conversation during the break. I think we have very similar thoughts on how this is going to go.
Oh, boy. So I will refrain from giving my answer and then fade you two.
Yeah.
If you guys are in agreement.
We both believe it's going to be Dallas.
Okay.
And we believe it's Dallas in 6.
Dallas in 6.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I think I'm hearing a lot of that. Ever since Dallas did go up 3-0. Also, you know who's on Dallas in 6? Hot take, Hickey.
All right, Celtics in 6 it is.
Celtics sweep. Sweep, 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 sweep. But
kind of like the Eastern Conference.
I do think because of Luka and Kyrie being locked in, a lot of people are going to pick Dallas. Right now, you put a gun to my head, I'm taking the Celtics and the Celtics in 7. And I get it, right? The Celtics, right, against Miami, Jimmy Butler was out for the entire series. They would have beat them even if Jimmy Butler was there this year. The second series against the Cavs, I know Allen was hurt, Mitchell was hurt. Doesn't matter. They were going to beat the Cavs either way. The Pacers, they didn't have Haliburton for 2 games. Didn't matter. They were going to beat the Pacers either way. The Celtics have been on cruise control. Now they have to turn it up. And I do believe with them being close for so many years, it's just their time to pull through. And I believe in this postseason so far, there's always been a team of momentum. that you start to get hot. Like, everyone was Denver going in. Then Denver goes down 2-0. Everyone's on Minnesota. Then Minnesota almost blows that. They're down 3-2. They win 6-7. And everyone's on Minnesota. And now it's Dallas, right? Dallas about to take care of Minnesota. Now everyone's going to be on Dallas. Right now, you ask me today who's going to win the NBA championship, I'm going to take the Celtics in 7.
Who's going to win? The Celtics. Because there's no other reason why. The Celtics are the balls.
I was going to play that coming up in a bit when I went to the next guy who's on the line, but it's all right. We're a little premature on that, but that's fine. Manny's had a big day today. You know, once you're running the board for the Rome Extreme launch, which had 500,000 people watching, it's like, then you got to work on the Zach Gelb show, and it's like, okay, this is where I could have fun and play around with a bunch of things. Yeah. All righty, let's go to Sully. Sully is on the line. My man, Sully, what's happening?
Zach, I want everybody – Stu and Manny, I'm taking your money. We're betting. I'll text Zach what the money's going to be. I hope everyone keeps talking about Dallas. How, and Manny, you have a lot of anger that I think you need to work through, and it's okay, man.
Damn right.
You take all your anger out because the Pacers lost to the Celtics? Come on, man. You're better than that, Manny.
No, I am not.
I don't even know you, and you're better than that. Zach, I know you. You're fine. You're Zach. But why does that, Zach, I need your help and guidance on this one. Obviously, I'm going to be very, very biased. Why are people already thinking, which is a dangerous thing to look ahead of anybody when anybody's up 3-0,
yeah.
2004 Red Sox, 3-1, we don't have to talk about the Panthers. Like, you got to knock them out first.
Sure.
But did anybody watch Jaylen Brown this last series?
Well, is anybody Sully, you know why this
Derek
is.
White? Derek White?
But, Sully, you know this. You're watching it from the lenses of a Celtics fan. Everyone else is looking at the Eastern Conference, and they're saying there's no real competition for the Celtics in the East. I get you could only play who is on your schedule, and it's not your problem. But the Celtics, with how close they've been recently, a lot of people have this feeling that they're never going to get it done. And we've seen a lot of times in sports, teams have been close, and they get to the top of the mountain. So since there hasn't been an impressive moment yet up against a team that actually people think is worthy, they're just waiting for the other shoe to just drop on the Celtics season. That's what it is.
But what I don't understand, Zach, is the Celtics were down 3, 10 seconds left. Indiana chokes, throws the ball away. Yeah. Jaylen Brown drills a three and then win in overtime. So I don't understand the whole, well, they had no one to compete against. No, they should have lost that game. And then they're down again, come back in the fourth quarter. This series.
Well, people don't think that formula, and I do agree. If they play like that, they will not beat the Mavericks. They just have to take their game to the next level. But when you have Tatum and Brown, who are now older, more mature, and now the expectation is to win. Drew Holiday is a championship player. You have Derek White. Correct. They're going to need Porzingis back.
Correct.
There's no reason why I'm going to sit here and confidently say that the Celtics should lose the NBA Finals. I think it's going to be a very fun back-and-forth series, and the Celtics win in 7 if the Mavericks get there, which it looks like they do. They will.
Celtics in 6, Zach, and let me know how much money I'm taking from your staff.
Well, Sully, you come from pretty good coin. I don't think it's very nice to take for my staff on the other side, all right?
Maybe you got to teach them a lesson, Zach. If they're going to run their mouth, it's time to pay up. Pay up, Manny and Stu. Let's go.
Okay, well, I'll let you two guys, or three, figure it out and what you guys want to bet. Just here's a piece of advice to Manny and Stu, because I'm always here to lend a helping hand. Just bet Sully something with food, and then Sully will eventually end up picking up the tab. But, like, if you reach into your pocket and go, I'm going to pay, and oh, I'm going to pick up the bill, then Sully will be like, nah, I got you guys. You guys are two good dudes. But, yeah, you guys should have some – maybe make a friendly wager with Sully. Maybe you bet a tattoo. Do a tattoo bet. Imagine how weird it would be you two not Mavericks fans having to get, like, a Celtics tattoo.
Yeah, for me, that would be the worst.
Oh, yeah, you're a Lakers fan.
No.
Yeah. All righty, we'll take a break. Hey, real quickly, Ack is here. Ack, is that right when we remember the legendary Bill Walton?
What's that?
That you sat very close to Bill Walton. What was that, Game 7 of the Stanley
right
Cup Final?
Right behind him.
You know who was right next to him?
Your father.
My father was, I think, in the radio booth for that.
Iron Eagle was there. Dove Kramer, who works at FAN a long time. There was a whole WFAN contingent.
My uncle literally sat the seat next to Bill Walton.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So. My friend who is with us and working for the agency that represented Bill at the time said, you know, we all looked at each other like, what's Bill Walton doing? And
right.
Just kind of waltzes in by himself, and you know, you obviously can't miss the guy. And he sits down, and so my friend says, Bill, what on earth are you doing here? And he just looks at him and goes, when there's a championship to be won, I'm in the building. It's a great line.
That is a great line.
30 years later, I still remember it.
So, and you had some other encounters with Bill. I saw some photo yesterday of you and Bill Walton. What was that, the NBA store?
Yeah, I hosted, when his book came out, I guess it was like 2016, I was asked to host the book signing, and honestly, it was the easiest money I ever made. Because I said, ladies
Hello,
and
Bill.
Gentlemen. Yeah, he literally grabbed the mic from me. Literally. Yeah. I mean that literally. And the rest, he just went on.
Grateful Dead, Mushrooms,
yeah, I mean, he did
basketball.
I was like, I just put up my feet and just enjoyed it. But, you know, look, I was only too happy to do it and would have been thrilled to, you know, talk to him a little more. But he was a show. But somebody, as I was waiting for him to come out, mm-hmm. he was being interviewed by some magazine writer. And I never saw, I didn't know who it was, and I never saw where the article came out. But I heard him ask the question, which of the championships, you know, do you like the most?
Mm-hmm.
And it was another great answer. He goes, championships are like children. You love them all and love them all the same. You know, I was like, you know what? That's great.
That's a good one.
That's, you know, that's one of those. I've used that many, many times since then. So, and there was one other time he came on a Saturday morning, early 2000s, to the WFAN studios then. In Astoria, Queens.
Which is a dump, and he cockroach infested studio.
On a Saturday morning, and he was probably staying in the city, but sure. You know, wasn't exactly an easy, you know,
commute.
And he came and he just sat down and he came early and we were just, you know, talking casually and we just got into one story after another and he looks at us and he goes, that's what I love about you guys, the love of the game.
<You know? laughs> Wonderful.
He was a wonderfully nice person.
Yeah.
I mean, couldn't say enough nice things about him. And it's a terrible shame.
We remember the life of Bill Walton, who passed away yesterday at the age of 71. When we come on back, you just heard the voice of Rich Ackerman. Let's get his latest Infinity Sports Network update.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome to Nada Yada Island.
This season on Nada Yada Island.
When we were new, they spoiled me. They even gave me a phone. But then, it's like I didn't exist.
Don't take yada yada from your wireless carrier. Now with Metro, get that new customer feeling again and again. Introducing Metro Flex. Free 5G phones when you join, same deals as new customers when you stay. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Just bring your number and ID and sign up for an eligible plan. After 12 months, trade in and get our best deals on select devices.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, it is the Infinity Sports Network, and it is the Zach Gelb Show. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. The members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. This week's player is Celtics guard Derek White. In yesterday's series clinching win over the Pacers, White had 5 steals and 3 blocks, which are both game highs. White has now blocked 3 or more shots on 3 separate occasions this postseason. So the Celtics are off to the NBA Finals. That will get underway on June 6th. And you have the Western Conference Finals, which could be over as soon as tomorrow, with the Timberwolves down 3-0 in this series. And my, oh, my, when you take a glance at that series right now, where it is, with Minnesota being down 3-0, I did not anticipate that whatsoever. Like, if you wanted to tell me, game 4 is tonight. Between the Timberwolves and the Mavericks. My brain was on Monday still, and I just realized that today's Tuesday, with yesterday being Memorial Day weekend. But that could be over as soon as tonight. And you have the Mavericks are up 3-0 in the series. And did anyone see this? Like, no one could have seen this coming. If you want to tell me the Mavericks are winning the series going in, no one would have rolled your eyes. Like, no one would have said, what the heck are you doing? But the fact that this is at 3-0 in favor of Dallas, and Minnesota, they couldn't find a way to win game 2. And then in game 3, that game going back and forth. Anthony Edwards, by the way, he was taking the game over. I know it was at the end of the 3rd quarter when he threw that dunk down. I'm like, uh-oh, here comes Minnesota to make this what's going to be a very fun game 4. And you still have another quarter to go. But at the end of that game, you could tell he was gassed because they were down big. And then when he brought them back, Anthony Edwards just exerted all of his energy, and he had no gas left in the tank at the end of the 4th quarter. But you take a look at the NBA Finals, which you could have a long layoff for. You know, if they wrap up tonight, how they are not going to move this up doesn't make any sense to me. But we're going to be waiting 9 days. Until the NBA Finals would start. So you know that the NBA is hoping that you do get Minnesota to at least get one. And we'll see if they can get that tonight. But anyway, you got the news yesterday. I know the Celtics are off to the NBA Finals, but the big news in regarding, Bill Walton obviously passing away yesterday at the age of 71, played for the Celtics, won a championship with the Celtics, was a sixth man of the year for the Celtics, also won a NBA MVP and another NBA championship before that with the Portland Trail Blazers, and you also had a stop with the Los Angeles Clippers. But you look back at the basketball career of Bill Walton and you evaluate the accolades of Bill Walton. This is a guy that won 2 NBA championships. He was a finals MVP, a league MVP at UCLA, won 2 championships, was a 3-time National College Player of the Year, and we could sit here and talk about the accolades of Bill Walton for a long time. And I did not know that he had cancer. He passed away yesterday at the age of 71 after a battle with cancer. You know, usually each and every year he's at Radio Row for the NCAA tournament. I was very much looking forward to speaking to Bill Walton this year because for years I was trying to get him on the show, and we played phone tag for a while. I've talked to him a few times off the air. He left me once the longest voicemail ever. The 2 longest voicemails I've ever received, John Sterling, the former play-by-play voice of the Yankees, and then Bill Walton. But, you know, we found out when we were going out to the Final Four that he wasn't going to make it there this year. I didn't think much of it. And then you eventually, I don't know when he was diagnosed with cancer, but he passed away from a battle with cancer, which obviously cancer just sucks. And now, unfortunately, Bill Walton is no longer with us as he died yesterday at the age of 71. But here's the thing. When you talk about Bill Walton, right, Hall of Fame career, we just went through the accolades. A lot of people will talk about, man, imagine if this guy didn't get hurt and have injuries derail his career. And look at the Hall of Fame career he was able to have, even with all the injuries. But you know what is, it speaks to the true person Bill Walton is in the last 24 hours since this news did come out that he passed away, has anyone even really talked about the basketball memories? Has anyone even talked about what he did at UCLA? Has anyone ever talked about what he did in Portland and what he did with the Celtics? No. Everything is about just the fun way that he lived life. And he is someone that was truly a gregarious soul. That is who Bill Walton was. He loved living life. He was a larger-than-life personality. And he was just someone that was the life of the party. That's Bill Walton. And it's very telling when you hear tribute after tribute and anecdote after anecdote in the last 24 hours, 99% of them have nothing to do with basketball. For a guy that had a Hall of Fame career, was great in college, I know he'd had a bunch of injuries in the pros, but still won an MVP, two championships in the NBA. And everyone's talking about how funny he was calling games, the tangents, and his love for the Grateful Dead. You talk about a life well lived. Bill Walton is right up there at the top of the list of great just lives that there were. To have all that success on the court, and don't get me wrong, there's a lot to remember what he did off the court, but for everyone wanting to talk about just his stories and how fun he was, it just shows you the truly special person that Bill Walton was. And may he rest in peace. And I know he is probably somewhere above right now, listening and having a concert somewhere up there in heaven and probably doing a lot of things that would get you in a lot of trouble if you did them in the world right now. But it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Rest in peace, Bill Walton. We'll take a timeout. When we come on back, we'll continue a conversation about Bill Walton, also get into the disappointment of the Minnesota Timberwolves being down 3-0 and the Oilers losing last night to go down 2-1 to the Dallas Stars. Coming on back.